Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Arvind Fashions Limited Q3 FY23 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankit Arora. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Mike. Hello, welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us on Arvind Fashions Limited earnings conference call for the third quarter and nine months ended December 31st, 2022. I'm joined here today by Kulin Lalbhai, Vice Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Shailesh Chaturvedi, Managing Director and CEO, and Girdhar Chitlangia, our Chief Financial Officer. Please note that results, press release, and earnings presentation had been mailed across to you yesterday, and these are also now available on our website, www.arvindfashions.com. I hope you had the opportunity to browse through the highlights of the performance. We'll commence the call today with Kulin providing his key thoughts on our business performance for the third quarter. He will be followed by Shailesh, who will share insights into our financial and business performance. At the end of management discussion, we will have a Q&A session. Before we start, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made or discussed on this call today may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with risks and uncertainties we face. A detailed statement of these risks is available in this quarter's earnings presentation. The company does not undertake to update these forward-looking statements publicly. With that said, I would now turn the call over to Kulin to share his views. Thank you, and over to you, Kulin.
As well as an improvement in profitability.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Lalbhai, we were unable to hear your intro. If you could repeat that.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, we can hear you now.
A very good afternoon to you all. Thank you for joining us for the Q3 results. Q3 was a very strong quarter for AFL, where we saw industry-leading growth and an improvement in profitability. Revenues grew 17% year-on-year, with strong like-for-like growth of more than 12% in the retail channel and a more than 40% growth in the department store channel. Better full price sell-throughs led to lower discounting, which improved our gross margins and led to a lift in our EBITDA margin by 110 basis points year-on-year. I would like to also specially mention the great work that is happening on the supply chain transformation, which was initiated last year. It has yielded strong results, and our stock turns continue to sustainably stay beyond four. Along with that, we see the improvement in gross working capital, which has led to cash flow generation and a quarter-on-quarter reduction in our debt. This is the second consecutive quarter where our annualized return on capital employed is at 15%, and we look forward to further improving this in the years to come. We enter quarter four with a re-energized brand portfolio and look forward to continuing momentum in the business. I would like to now hand it over to Shailesh to take us through the specifics and more details on our financial performance.
Thanks, Kulin. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me start with welcoming Girdhar Chitlangia, our new CFO, who is joining AFL investor call for the first time. Welcome, Girdhar.
Good afternoon, everyone.
AFL continues its path of decisive focus, revitalizing performance of our exciting brand portfolio and making our brands bigger, really large and more profitable, and making AFL a much stronger AFL. With no distraction, we continued our focus in Q3 FY23 on execution, more focus on sell-through improvements, full price like-for-like growth, reduction in discounting, all leading to increase in GP margin and EBITDA, and better EBITDA. With nearly 1,200 crore top line, we saw the highest ever quarter, similar to quarter two, with EBITDA of rupees 136 crore. The growth in top line is 17% and much higher growth in EBITDA at 30%. Fall/Holiday 2022 season saw continued good performance on our brands on sell-through, with industry-leading full price sell-through that led to healthy 12% like-for-like growth in our retail and expansion of gross margin by 160 basis points. EBITDA percent also has gone up by 110 BPS with 60 basis point gain coming from lower discounting in retail channel and 50 basis point gain coming from scale leverage linked to efficiency in employee cost. The increase in power brand EBITDA is 140 BPS. At the end December, in the 9 months of this financial year, AFL has reached nearly 3,300 crore top line with 53% growth over last year. The EBITDA at December end is nearly 370 crore, is more than double of last year, and there's an improvement of 400 basis points in EBITDA percentage at end December over last year. This fall holiday season spanned out very interestingly with equal business in Q2 and Q3. With early Puja and Diwali dates, we completed majority of our wholesale billing for the season in Q2 itself, and Q2 saw 100% growth in MBO trade channel in Q2. Online B2B wholesale business also saw robust business in Q2 with more online tower events which were lined up towards end September and early October. While Diwali retailing started by end September, majority of the Diwali retailing happened in October, and the contribution of retail channel increased by a huge 10% in our revenue mix in Q3 over Q2 revenue mix. And this was an increase of 110 crores in retail channel value in Q3 over Q2. With wholesale peaking in Q2, we realized a large part of our margin in Q2, and our EBITDA grew by 90% in Q2. Subsequently, the wholesaling in our revenue mix dipped in Q3 as expected, with MBO trade delivering single-digit growth in Q3 because it had already shipped out goods in Q2 in time for the festival season. But then retail channel did very well in Q3, and our like-to-like retail sales grew by an impressive 12% in Q3. Two big quarters, Q2 and Q3. Q2 saw a bigger, larger growth in EBITDA of 90% due to early Diwali billing. And Q2 also reached the same level of highest ever revenue and EBITDA value of the same 133 crore because of healthy margin gain from retail channel. There was a slowdown in onset of winter season this year. Winter started late, because of which the normal repeat orders of winter goods that we typically get in Q3 did not happen this year. Fortunately, winter finally arrived in January, and all our brands eventually saw very healthy sell-throughs of winter wear by end January. We resisted the temptation of going early with EOSS in December because we were witnessing good sell-throughs. We consciously decided to postpone EOSS, which helped us lower discounting in Q3, because of which we got additional 0.6% EBITDA in Q3. Thus, we have this unique situation of both Q2 and Q3 being similar level of top line and EBITDA. If winter had set in at normal time and we had not consciously decided to postpone EOSS, Q3 would have been even bigger in both revenue and EBITDA value. We continue to focus sharply on balance sheet deleverage, and we are ensuring tight control on working capital. Very happy to see reduction of further 3 days in GWC with gains coming from reduction in debtor days. We saw a reduction of nearly 200 crore of inventory value in Q3 as compared to Q2 end, and the inventory levels remain healthy at 88 days with stock turns at 4.2 in line with our guidance of taking stock turns above 4. Receivables also came down by nearly 100 crores as our partners paid their dues as per credit norms with good consumption of inventory in the season. There was also a sharp reduction of nearly 300 crores in payable, and this was done as per the payment terms with our vendors. Post supplies in Q2, these payments were due in Q3, and we made payments to reduce payables by nearly 19 days over last Q3. Overall, good control on working capital on all aspects. With increase in EBITDA and sharp control on working capital, we saw continued good performance on capital efficiency, and we delivered a ROCE, annualized ratio, or ROCE of 15%. We continue to focus on our goal of improving profitability towards double-digit EBITDA for our power brands in the next year. We remain confident of this journey because we are seeing higher efficiency in our execution. There's a reduction in discount coming from higher sell-through. There's an improvement in some of our brands' profitability, especially Arrow. And with Power Brands EBITDA of 12.5% in cumulative in the 9 months of this year, we are very close to that double-digit pre-Ind AS EBITDA objective for our Power Brand, and we are confident that we are moving in the right direction. With our portfolio of very strong brands and continued momentum in our growth engines, we remain optimistic about our guidance of 12-15% CAGR. The key growth engines include robust like-to-like growth through superb execution of store experience. We delivered industry-leading 12% like-to-like growth in Q3. The growth engines include store expansion, and we added nearly 60 new stores in Q3 in line with our guidance of opening 200 new stores annually. The growth engines include leadership in digital opportunity, and in Q3, online business was a very healthy 23% mix of our revenue. The growth engines also include build-up of adjacent categories, and we have seen more than 45% growth this year in kidswear and footwear. The revenue contribution of adjacent category in our key brand USPA is in mid-teens percentage, and we continue to focus on developing adjacent category in each of our brands. With presence of strong brands like USPA in our portfolio, which is likely to reach close to 1800 crore NSV this financial year, AFL is poised to deliver revenue growth of close to 1200 crore versus last year, this year surpassing 4000 crore NSV mark in this financial year. AFL is also poised to deliver an increase in EBITDA of more than 225 crores in this financial year, 12 months versus last year. And the focus remains singularly on reaching double-digit pre-Ind AS EBITDA in Power Brand next year. We have seen continued momentum in Jan due to winter season and Pongal festival in South and also the energy of EOSS. There are good retail days ahead with wedding season in South in February and March. Then there is Eid festival coming up in mid-April, for which the business will gain energy from mid-March. Hence, we remain optimistic about momentum going forward. With this, I hand over the mic to Ankit.
We can open it up now for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what is the operating cash flow that you would have generated for the 9 months that has gone by?
Hi Pritesh, how are you?
I'm good, how are you, sir?
Pritesh, the operating cash flow will be close to 150 crores.
150 crores. And our debt, the net debt and the gross debt figure, that would, this 150 crore is after working capital, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And what is the gross debt and the net debt now we have as of 9 months?
Pritesh, Ankit here. We have a net debt of 372 crores as of December end and a gross debt of closer to about 570 crores.
So has this increased QOQ, the gross debt number?
No, the gross debt number would have come down by about 20 crores QOQ.
Okay. I was trying to locate the pre-Ind AS number or margin that we would have done now for the 9 months and the quarter four. But I think your presentation doesn't tend to report it. So if you could share what will be the pre-Ind AS margin that you would have done in the 9 months and the quarter four?
Yeah, so Pritesh, we have guided to the street in the past, and I'm sure as what you would be aware, there is a 400 bps difference between post-Ind AS reporting and pre-Ind AS reporting, and that is something which is what stays constant or around the similar levels, and that would have been there for 9 months as well and Q3 also, So Q3, you know, we reported 11.6% EBITDA. You can, you know, subtract about 400 basis points from there to arrive at pre-Ind AS number, and similarly for 9 months numbers as well.
Okay. Lastly, so versus your, you know, old the margins where you used to do at about 8% pre-Ind AS at about 800 crore of business, and now we have already moved to about 1,180-1,200 crore of business, but the pre-Ind AS margin hasn't changed. So, on a nine-month basis, if you could help us understand this performance of ours from the margin perspective of pre-Ind AS, considering that the scale of operations have obviously gone up.
See, Pritesh, if you really look at for the 9 months, if I look at the post-Ind AS EBITDA, there is a 400 basis point increase in the EBITDA, Pritesh. And, you know, typically, the way the improvements are happening now and the EBITDA percentage improvements are likely to happen in future are on two, three grounds. One is there is a execution where we are focusing on full price sell-through. So this quarter, we have received, you know, out of 1.1% EBITDA gain, 0.6% gain has come from lower discounting from retail channel. So that's one focus that we want to continue to focus on full price sell-through and reduce discounting. Second point is that there is a scale leverage coming in. So in this quarter also, we received a 0.5%, 50 basis point improvement on EBITDA margin coming from scale leverage on the employee cost. So as the scales are going up, and if you look at last two quarters, our employee costs have remained flat, and there is a 0.5% additional EBITDA going in, which is adding up to 1.1%. Third reason of this 400 basis point increase in last 9 months is a couple of our brands, for example, Arrow, have turned around. So compared to past, today, you know, Arrow sell-throughs are very good. We started having positive EBITDA. Still, it's in the low single digit, but it is last three quarters, Arrow has been EBITDA positive. So, you know, some of the brands are, you know, profitability is going up. And also in Power Brands also, as the business scales up, the profitability is coming up. So through, you know, efficiency, through better performance of some of the brands where our profitability is a little suppressed and is improving like Arrow, and through scale leverage, we want to take this, you know, the cumulative Power Brand, for example, we are at 12.5% post-Ind AS, and to reach 14% or so where it becomes double digit. And that's what the focus has been, Pritesh, now.
Shailesh, but from 2,800 crore of business going to 4,000 crore of business already, let's say on an annual run rate, or let's say on a quarterly basis, let's say from 700 crores to now 1,000, the pre-Ind AS margin has actually not moved. You know, you were making pre-Ind AS 8%, now you're making pre-Ind AS 6 or 8% number. If I take Ankit's 12%, which is including the other income, and minus 4, then it is 6.
No, you know, if you really look at our pre-Ind AS.
Shailesh, the question is, has the discounting increased because of which the margin is not coming in?
No, there are two ways, Pritesh. Margins are coming in. There is in 9 months, 4% increase in EBITDA post-Ind AS, and that shows in pre-Ind AS also. So assume that there's no margin increase. There's a significant margin increase, Pritesh. That's point number one. Point number two, like I said earlier in this call, that discounting has come down in quarter three by 0.6%, and that's leading to higher EBITDA. So definitely there is a increase in EBITDA, and there is a reduction in discounting as well, Pritesh.
My question was actually pre-COVID numbers. What you are comparing is last year's number. I was actually trying to compare with the business margins pre-COVID at 2,800 crore of sale.
Yeah, you know, Pritesh, what happens is that they were in pre-COVID time, there was a large amount of rent waiver sometimes, and, you know, the quarter to quarter, the losses would have been different and the rent waiver was coming. Now, this year, there's no rent waiver, and our profitability has definitely gone up by 400 basis points compared to last year. So if I look at steady growth in our business, we have far more profitable than we ever seen in our business. If you look at our PBT performance, you can see quarter by quarter, second half of last year onwards, we've started delivering PBT positive, and that trend has continued to grow. And today, in these 9 months of this year, and you look at the overall, I'm saying in this year, our post-Ind AS EBITDA will go up by almost like 225 crores increase in EBITDA, Pratish.
If I could just add one point here, you know, one difference between many years ago when you might be comparing to today is that our retail mix has significantly gone up, and you know, wholesale versus retail mix changes the percentage EBITDA somewhat, but at an absolute level our EBITDAs are going up, which shows generally how much the profitability of the business is improving over time. So the kind of absolute EBITDAs you are seeing are amongst the highest the business has ever delivered. The percentage EBITDAs have changed because in that the channel mix 4 or 5 years ago was a little different from what it is today.
Has the retail increased in the channel mix? And has your own COCO scores increased?
It's a 47% retail, which is the highest it has been, and we generally have a FOFO you know, model.
So
the percentage,
so sir, your cost,
EBITDAs,
Pratish, give you another data point. If you look at the PBT swing in this 9 months over last year, the swing is 212 crores, Pratish.
Okay.
PBT.
Okay.
So, okay. I don't know, you know, where, see, look at little broad numbers, Pratish. We are talking about more than 1,000 odd crores increase this year. We are talking about 225 crore additional EBITDA. We are talking about in these 9 months already a PBT saving of 212 crores. So look at our, the way that debt levels have come down, the cash has been generated. So I don't know, you know, which part of the business we are looking at differently, Pratish.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shreya from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
Sir, just wanted to understand one thing. If I look at your QOQ other expenses, your revenues are largely flat, but we see an about 8% increase in your other expenses. So could you just explain what has driven this increase in the other expenses?
So, you know, other expense, I'll take a little time to explain it a little more elaborately because this is a point that is being discussed regularly. So, look at our quarter three, the other expense is a value which is 370.83 crores. Now, what constitutes this other expense? Now, two-thirds of this other expense is linked to the sales. Basically, it is largely related to retail sales, so things like commission to the franchisee, royalty that we pay on the sale, the marketing cost that typically 3.7% or 3.5% of sale. There's a activity on warehouse and freight linked to the sale. So, you know, a large part of this 370 crores, two-thirds, is linked to increase in sale. So, as the sales will keep growing up, this expense, other expense will also grow. And as the retail part of our business grows, the other expenses will go further because almost like 26 to 30% of our sale, we pay as franchisee commission. And so, every 100 rupee increase in our retail sales, there will be a 28 crores increase in other expenses. Now, I give you a quarter-wise quarter number on other expense. Look at quarter one, this other expense was at 297, which was 31% of our NSV. This, in the current quarter, Q3 is 370 crores, which is also 31% of our NSV. Now, wherever the retail sales are high, so like quarter one had high retail contribution of 46%, Q3 had a higher retail contribution of 47%, in these two quarters with very high retail sales, the other expenses remain around 31% of NSV. Now, look at quarter two, which is a more wholesale-driven quarter, where the retail mix was only 37 versus 47% in Q3. The other expense came down from average 31 to 29% because retail contribution was less. So, in quarter one, the other expense 31, quarter two 29, quarter three 31%. At a nine-month average, this NSV, this other expense is 31% of overall sales. And as the sales grow up, and as the retail sales grow up, the other expenses will keep coming up. The other one-third is where we will strive for leverage. Now, I'll give another example of Q2 versus Q3. In Q2, our other expenses were at 342, and in Q3, our other expenses are 370 crores. And the retail sales in Q3 was higher than Q2 by 110 crores. Now, if I take on this additional 110 crores of retail sales, and if I take a weighted average 28% commission, then it comes down to 30 crores of additional commission. And that is precisely the difference between the Q2 other expense of 342 with Q3 other expense of 370. So there is a clear trend of close to 31% of NSV, and it covers things like commission, royalty, marketing expenses, freight and warehouse, and the retail staff costs in department store, etc., etc. Whenever the retail contribution comes down, like in Q2, it comes down to things like 29% of sale. When the retail is high, like in quarter one and quarter two, it goes up to 31%, the delta is 2%, and Q2 to Q3, the entire delta is because of higher 110 crores of retail sales, which in terms of commission is higher by 30 crores. So that's the mota-mota math on the other expenses. It's only going up in line with sales, and there's no other reason of other expenses going up. As the business grows, the royalty will go up, franchise commission will go up, marketing investment at 3.5% of sale will continue to go up. So it's a part of the business that will show growth as the top line and as the retail sales are growing up.
So, sir, if I have to think about the future as you grow your retail business, so should we build in like a 29% to 30% of other expenses that will continue to be there? So the one-third that you're talking about, the leverage that will come in, how will you drive that? Because those expenses are basic office expenses where there's no room for a lot of leverage to come in. So just wanted to understand what will drive the operating leverage in the business.
So that's a very interesting question. If you like to look at one third of, Q3, in 3 months, our other expenses are at 1,000 crore roughly. So the one third of that is 330 crores. And if we strive for even 5% efficiency there, which is possible, you see a lot of leverage coming in. So our entire focus, if you look at this quarter results also, our employee cost, which don't come in other expense, it's a separate row item, we have saved 0.5% of EBITDA coming from the people side. If you look at our marketing cost, which used to be close to 4%, now we are at 3.5%, while we are actually spending more dollars of rupees of marketing, but since the scale is coming up, we almost got a 0.5% saving on marketing cost currently. Also, as the scale goes up on warehousing, on transportation, we are able to negotiate better with our partners. So there is a almost like two-thirds is a variable component, but the other one-third, which is large value, 9 months itself is 330 odd crores. We will strive to gain as much of leverage and efficiency there as possible.
Okay. So my second question is, if I go back 3 years, I'm looking at Q3 FY20, where we used to do about, so you've given in the presentation that we've grown about 40-odd% versus Q3 FY20. So if I just go back in time and look at your profitability then, and this is after adjusting for Ind AS, so at that point in time, our operating profit excluding other income was 113 crores. And this number, sir, includes your unlimited losses. And whereas you look at Q3 FY23, our numbers are ex of unlimited. So what I'm trying to really understand is, even after selling off unlimited, we haven't been able to see a lot of the leverage, what you've been saying in the past, those numbers don't seem to come through. So I just, our question is, how is this going to change and when is it going to change?
See, if I again repeat what I just said sometime, this year we are looking at least like a 225 crore additional EBITDA over last year in this financial year. In 9 months, the swing in our PBT is 212 crores. So, and every quarter we have improved our EBITDA. These 9 months over last year, 9 years, our EBITDA has gone up by 400 basis points. So, look at our scale of our brand. The way our top line this year will cross 4,000 crores. There are efficiencies kicking in every day in our business. So I am not able to visualize minus Unlimited, minus Mega Mart, but if I look at existing businesses, the existing portfolio of power brand and the emerging brand, so overall portfolio, we are far healthy. Our stock turns are first time crossing 4. Our working capital, I mean, there is a improvement of more than 10 days in our business. We are so tight on working capital. Our interest costs are, our net debt levels are at close below 400. They used to be more than, at point of time it was close to 1400 crores. So all around, this business is very healthy, efficient, and bigger and more profitable. So I'm not able to imagine a situation what you are looking at and what I'm looking at.
So I'll just explain, sir. We did about 830 or 836 crores in Q3 FY20 X of Unlimited. Now from 836 you've reached about 1200 odd crores. So that's almost a delta of about 400 crores in top line. Now when I look at your operating profits, excluding other income, you used to do 113 crores including Unlimited losses. Now X of those losses, we are at 120, so that your profits have not really changed.
But
I don't know which numbers you are referring to, but most of our numbers have been restated to make them apple to apple. So the number you are talking before would also possibly not have Unlimited.
I'll check with you offline. I'll take that offline. Yes. Okay. So, and the last question is, so if I just look at your profitability for our parent, we've done about 8 crores of profit this quarter. Now, if you see the minority interest is 14 odd crores, so broadly that gives you 28 crores of profit from the CK and the Tommy subsidiary. So 28 crores profit, and if you look at the PAT before minority interest, it's about 22 odd crores. So there's a 6 crore loss that you've done in the other businesses. And if you look at this QOQ, it's almost a 14 crore delta that has come in. So what is really happening in the other subsidiaries?
So let's look at PAT number for the cumulative 9 months. Now if I look at the PAT number, which is close to 60 crores, and it's a more or less an equal split between the PBH business and the all other brands of AFL. So it's a healthy sort of a 50-50 split between the two sets. In quarter three, PBH brands, Tommy CK, and I've been running those business for 16 years. I know that they are, pure retail businesses. So they tend to do better in the retail quarters of quarter three. Also, this quarter three, when it's a winter season, the winter was a little late there, but then still the winter in sale was coming through in October, November. The Tommy and CK do much better in winter business than the other brands of Arvind and also the industry. So if I really look at the sum total of their strengths in winter season and also the fact that it's a pure, largely a retail business compared to our brand, which have a very healthy wholesale business, which had peaked in quarter two, like I said in my opening comments. If I really look at normalizing, it's a more or less equal split, and I'm looking at quarter four now. I think quarter four, you will see normalization again, and in a full year basis, it will be a kind of a equal split, not the kind of skew you are seeing in the quarter three season.
Okay, sir. That helps. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on line of Jatin Sangwan from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. If I look at quarter-on-quarter basis, your EBITDA has remained same, but there has been a lot of difference at the PBT level. So could you please explain why that has happened?
See, if you look at items below EBITDA, basically it's the interest cost and the depreciation. Now, when I look at last quarter interest rate, there is a 85 basis point increase in interest rate since there was an announcement in September end, and then there was a recent announcement. So the interest rates have gone up by 0.85%. And that's the main reason why the below EBITDA, the interest component has gone up. And actually, if you look at pre-Ind AS, the operating expense, the interest rates are not very different. It's almost like a 2.5 crore difference. Post-Ind AS, a lot of entries come, you know, so that's as per the accounting policies. But if you really look at our gross debt, there's a small, it's more or less the same number given the size of the business, and the impact of higher repo rate of 0.85 is coming into the interest, and that's what is making the difference. Depreciation also, if I look at the quarter two to now, it's gone up slightly in terms of operating depreciation of the real business, actually slightly lower, but with index entries it's looking slightly higher, from 59 crores going to 63 odd crores. So the sum total of these two thing, that is the interest and depreciation, is what leading to a slightly higher minus over EBITDA.
According to me, your gross debt would be around 500 crores, and you have mentioned that interest had increased by 85 bps, so that would explain the difference of 1 crores in interest expenses. But if I look at overall interest expenses, they have gone by more than 6 crores.
If you really see, we also taking over now close to 23 stores of PDH, we are buying back from the franchisee in order to improve our margin. So there is a bit of a block going there also. So, you know, that in the immediate payment to the franchisee and the block coming in. So actually, if you really see the interest cost, it's not going up. Also, there are some other costs in the what you call as finance charges. So there is a security deposit of the franchisee that we pay also, that, and then there are some commissions also come in. So it's not just the block, but there are other expenses also in the finance charges.
And sir, what would be the breakup of this depreciation of 63 crores into amortization of ROU assets and depreciation of PP?
So you are basically asking the breakup of interest on lease liability and normal interest. Is that your question?
Yes, and the same breakup for depreciation.
Yeah, right. So interest on the normal interest cost is close to about 21 crores, and normal depreciation is about 20 crores, and the rest is on account of interest on lease liability and depreciation on ROU assets.
Okay, thank you. That was the last question from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from Anand Mithili Balakrishnan from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yes. Couple of questions here. Just wanted to check if
sorry to interrupt. Your audio is not very clear, ma'am. If you could kindly come closer to the microphone. It's still the same, ma'am. If you could go off the speakerphone, maybe.
I'm not on the speakerphone. I'm on the handset only.
Now it's clear, ma'am.
Okay. So just wanted to check with you on this other income. What is the components of it?
Yeah, so if you look at FY, the quarter three number, the total amount of other income is 15.9 crores. Now, almost 8 crores out of that is what we call is the provision no longer required. So we had, for example, security deposit with a franchisee, which in the past we had written off, and we had some money lying with the landlord, which we had made provision in the past. And we got a genuine now recovery of those money, the deposit, etc. And so no more those provisions are required. So the bulk of this almost 16 crores, 8 crore is the provision that is not required. Second component of that other income is we have interest coming on some of our bank deposits. So we have a 3.3 crores of interest income from the deposit that we have made. Then there's also a rent recovery of 2.5 crores. So what happens in some of our businesses, we pay the rent to the mall, and this goes as an Intel expense in our books, and then we recover from the franchisee later. So that recovery is at 2.5 crores, where accounting wise it comes as other income, but it's not a other income, but the way the accounting is done, that we make the payment to the mall first and then we recover from the franchisee. So these are the main head. Then there is some assessment and then security deposit fair value, which is around coming to 2 crores. So if I really make a summary of this, there is a 16 crores of other income, out of which 8 crores is largely the provision that we don't require. There is a rent recovery of 2.5 crores. There is an interest on our deposit with the bank. We've got 3.3 crores of income on that. And then there is a 2 crores on reassessment and fair value of security deposit.
Got it. But on a more recurring basis, then it is probably this number would be a 3 to 5 crore on a quarterly basis.
Currently, if I see it, more close to like 10 crores than like 3 to 4 crores. Last quarter, was a little higher because there was some gain on assessment, and this is a one-off. I mean, provision will happen. I shouldn't say one-off because 8 crores is a larger amount, but I think around 10 crores of this kind of entry would be normal for the scale of our business.
Got it. In terms of the raw material prices, are you seeing any pass-through in terms of lower cost inventory coming to us?
Sorry, lower cost?
Yes.
You mean the reduction in the cost of goods?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so it's a very...
The perspective of the cotton prices coming off.
Understood. Thank you. Yeah. See, let me first answer in the first part, and then I'll come to your point. See, our world in this current quarter three, we have never seen the kind of cost push we ever saw. The cotton prices went, a lakh rupee to candy. The China import shipment cost went up. The dollar depreciated. We had to take higher cost in imports. There are a lot of things in Q3 that, are at a higher level, and we're still able to improve our EBITDA by 1.1%. Now, I look forward, the kind of lead times we work on, our spring-summer goods were booked, where there was slight softening, not full softening, but after that the prices, cotton prices come down to maybe 65,000 to the peak of 1 lakh. So most of this reduction likely to happen by fall holiday 23 goods, which we are booking right now with the market, the road shows are on. So the lower cost structure likely to become material in our books from fall holiday deliveries, which will start from July onwards.
Got it. Also wanted to check with you on the state of Arrow. You mentioned the fact that it's got a low single-digit EBITDA margin. Wanted to check with you on the trajectory that you see there, the quality of sales. What do you see as the more steady state for this business?
In fact, we are very pleased with the progress on Arrow and where the Arrow is sitting today. Today, we have seen 3 quarters of positive EBITDA in Arrow. COVID was very tough for a formal brand like Arrow. And also, it's a pure larger retail business, so it got impacted more. But in the last 3 quarters, the brand has come out very strongly. Now, we did a lot of things, and I don't want to go back again, but I just want to say that we re-energize the brand, improve the product quality, we logoize it, we got a new retail identity done, we improved the sports line, which is a little more work from home or casual side, we got Hrithik Roshan, new retail, and we did many things which we have been talking about, and the results of that have started to come in now. This year, full year, pre-Ind AS, their delta in EBITDA of Arrow would be close to 65 to 70 crores from losses of last year to positive, almost low single digit EBITDA. The swing is very significant. And that swing is happening because in fall holiday, Arrow saw the best or the highest improvement in sell-through. So the sell-through went up by almost like 7 to 8%, and the discounting came down because of that significantly. So today, if you go to the market and talk to any big trade customer, Arrow is a strong brand, and everybody will acknowledge saying that Arrow has turned around, doing really well, the throughputs are good, sell-throughs are good. So a lot of changes were made. We're seeing the results for last 3 quarters. This quarter it had the highest improvement in full price sell-through. The delta in EBITDA this year will be very, very material for the company going forward. And from this place where, you know, this brand now has crossed more than 500 crore business and it's reached early EBITDA, low single digit. The interesting part is what we do with it going forward and how do we now take it forward to the desired double digit EBITDA in, let's say, 2 years or 3 years. So I think the whole game in Arrow now is that in some part of Arrow it's subscale. So for example, number of stores that Arrow has, close to 200 compared to its competition, we are subscale. And the most important thing in Arrow now is to how to open 100 good stores going forward. The earlier we can open those 100 stores, the better it will be for, you know, Arrow. It might take us 1.5 years to do that. But that's the journey, that now all the efficiency and the aesthetic sides are in place. Now we need to ramp up. We need to accelerate the expansion of Arrow fast, and wherever there is a subscale nature of the business, we need to bring the scale back to that business, and that's what we are doing. We are increasing the product lines from suits and blazer to formal trouser, doing really well, to the channel side where we believe it should open 200 more stores in next 2 years or 3 years, so get to the scale that is it required. So we feel very confident of what we have done with Arrow in the last 2 odd years, and the recent performance has been very, very encouraging, and we will now focus on increasing the scale in the right way for Arrow and take the journey to double digit. Next year, I feel it should hit the middle of, mid single digit EBITDA, and that would again be a very large, swing in EBITDA for Arrow, and it will help AFL improve its overall profitability. So Arrow is sitting on a very good wicket, and we just launched a premium line of Arrow called 1851 that's got really good response, and it improves the revenue per square foot in store. So a lot of good things going for Arrow right now, and our job now is to having done the job one of turning around, we need to now scale up profitability, reach 5 or 6% EBITDA soon, and then to double digit EBITDA journey. That's the game plan on Arrow.
Got it. Coming back to the margin question, which at some level we are all looking at, I just wanted to understand that in your view, what would be a more steady state sort of EBITDA margins that one should look at for a business of our size and scale? By when do you think you can sort of like get there?
So I think, we've been really obsessed with that guidance ourselves. We are saying we need to hit double-digit EBITDA pre-Ind AS in our power brands, and we used to say 18 months, now we're talking 12 months, now we're saying next year, because we've gone through the journey. Our EBITDA at a company level has gone up by 4%, and in power brands also the EBITDA has gone up this year by 4%. Now we are at 12.5% post-Ind AS, and if you are close to 14%, we will be where we want to reach at 10% double-digit EBITDA. So our game plan now, first step is to reach 14% post-Ind AS EBITDA in power brands, which we believe we should reach next year, next financial year. And that's the first stage of improvement. And then, every year in our guidance, as we grow business of our guidance on revenue is between 12 to 15%. As we keep improving the revenue and we keep turning around the brands like Arrow or make Flying Machine Arrow big brands, higher scale towards 1,000 crores the revenue, we will get additional EBITDA. So those are some of the things that we have to deliver. Power brand, double digit EBITDA, scaling up of the brand, and it will give us scale advantage. We will start getting leverage. Like in this quarter, we got 0.5% additional EBITDA because of scale advantage on people cost. So there are a lot of such opportunities will keep coming as we keep growing the revenue at 12 to 15%.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Sagar Parekh from One Up Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations for a decent set of numbers.
My
question was on Arrow only, which you answered it quite elaborately. Just on this Arrow thing, at peak we used to do about 750 crores kind of top line, versus you mentioned that we'll end the year this year at around 500 crores. So when do you think we'll probably reach the peak again? And once we reach the peak, do you think that we can go to double digit kind of pre-Ind AS EBITDA margins in Arrow?
See, next year we should reach the highest ever revenue in FY24, and the double digit EBITDA should be a journey 1 year later. So we are at a low single digit EBITDA. We should hit 5-6% EBITDA and then towards 10% EBITDA. So we'll be like a 2-2.5 year game from now.
So what will drive this margin expansion from single digit? So apart from scale, anything else which will?
So scale is very important. Also, in terms of our channel mix, so, what happens is that there is a certain revenue that's coming from retail, which is a little higher, and some of the other channels, we need to increase the revenue of that. Also, the kind of brand Arrow is and the kind of prices, on Sport Blazer and 1851, the retail profitability also can go up. So, a couple of things we have to do: scaling up, second, channel mix to be a little more rounded. Third, the retail productivity, it has to go up. And overall, the way we are doing for all other brands, the discounting also has to come down in Arrow. Like most of other brands, we are looking at full price sell-through focus, which should deliver lower discounting.
At the overall full price sell-throughs for different brands, how would that be different from, let's say, Arrow versus US Polo?
Arrow is now competitive. Arrow is now a good sell-through. It's really in the last two seasons caught up with the remaining brands, so it's now a healthy sell-through. But all brands can, improve sell-through and reduce discounting, and that's what our focus will be. Also, when we're talking about the kind of scale, in next 2 years Arrow should get, I think it will be a lot of leverage on cost will come from better employee cost, marketing cost as a percentage of sale will come down. So I clearly see advantage on higher channel margin in Arrow's case, better scale, bringing in some more efficiency on leverage and higher EBITDA coming from there. So those are the things Arrow will have to do. And we are very confident, because you see all the metrics, the KPIs we work on, full price sell-through, discounting, growth of business, it's passing the test. Now we need to scale up. We need to accelerate the expansion of this brand.
When you say channel mix, you mentioned you are trying to say that more of retail channels rather than online.
Yeah. So, for example, competitor will be having close to 350 stores, Arrow has 200, so we need to add those 150 stores. And what happens in our business is that when you open more right stores, you could actually theoretically reduce the advertising cost, because store becomes the brand advertisement. Also, Arrow could do a little more on online, so we're building marketplace model, for online business. We're linking all the Arrow stores with Omni linkages, which will further improve the linkage and the visibility of the Arrow inventory online. So there are many things that we are doing to take Arrow forward.
So if I have to look at your overall portfolio of brands, let's say by next financial year, you will reach all, obviously Arrow was an outlier, but you gave a very broad, elaborate answer on Arrow. But apart from that, the other two laggards are basically Sephora and this Flying Machine in terms of margins at least. If I have to look at the overall portfolio in double digit, we need to scale up these two, the margins of these two brands as well, right? So where are we in that journey?
So, I think your point is very valid that let me leave Sephora aside, but I would say first talk about Arrow and FM, and both the journey in the FM also is a close to 500 crore business. And in our business, you know, if we really want to be a double-digit EBITDA on a sustainable basis, we need to be much bigger. And FM needs to be, you know, we just did a strategy where we are looking at FM as a 1,000 crore brand. And at that scale, FM also, like Arrow at 1,000 crores, will deliver a kind of, you know, because there is a huge scale leverage in our business. Also, you know, to do that, in, for example, in Flying Machine, we are looking at channel modification and the product modification. So on product side, we are looking at adjacent category like what we have done really well in US Polo. So we've just right now launched the first line of footwear in Flying Machine, selling online fairly well. We are encouraged by that. We are looking at innerwear. We are looking at women's wear, probably kids wear. So there are a lot of discussions going on with our partners to see how we can, you know, leverage new categories, and we are committed to that idea of making our brand bigger and more profitable through adjacent categories. And FM will also follow that strategy. Also on channel, FM is slightly weak in couple of regions. So we are putting disproportionate energy in some of the regions. I don't want to mention the regions for confidentiality and competitive positioning in the call, but we know some areas where there are regional gaps in Flying Machine. We are filling those regional gaps. Also, some channels are a little bit weak. For example, stores. We've done some new work on a new store identity for Flying Machine and opened the first few stores, and we want to now ramp up the store network for Flying Machine. So in Flying Machine also, you know, the whole opportunity for new categories, opportunity on region side, opportunity on channel side that we can take it forward. This is our own brand, and you know, this is where the opportunity to scale up in a sub-premium segment are enormous. And jeans is such a large segment in India that Flying Machine as an expert on jeans at that sub-premium pricing is very good opportunity. And now we are going to try to exploit that opportunity for Flying Machine. So Arrow and Flying Machine would be, you know, a clear game plan for us to push it towards higher profitability and bigger scale.
Sora?
Yeah, so, you know, Sephora is a more niche, high-priced business, and it's offline, so that's how the brand is worldwide. It has a offline appeal with women consumer in a more prestige, you know, prestige, not prestige, but prestige segment. And, you know, we have 26 stores in big cities, and those stores do really well. And if you go to any mall, ask which brand does the highest sales density, Sephora would come in the top brand for any mall in the big city. Now, we are in dialogue with the principal to take it to the logical profitability in India. We'll have to see how we can expand into slightly smaller cities in India, and also add channels like online, where we are currently not playing the game with Sephora. We don't have the online rights, and we are in negotiation with the license or principal. So that's a game where we have to sort of sit down and influence the principal. So that will take more time. In Arrow and Flying Machine, it's a different ease to move forward. And, you know, here we are actively in a dialogue, and we'll see what comes out of those dialogues with the principal.
So we are profitable at EBITDA level in Sephora?
Yeah, it's a small, very low single digit profitable. It's performing well, it's growing well, like-to-like store growth is good, it's growing good in those 26 stores, but what it needs to be redefined completely if it's online with smaller town expansion, etc., to reach a certain scale. That's what would be, and we are engaged with the principal, let's see what comes out of it.
Yeah, I mean, we have been engaging with the principal since a long time now, but nothing is coming out of it since it's been a while. Till what time frame are you looking at probably engaging further before taking a call on, what you did with other brands which were not performing?
So, no, we see value in this engagement because it's a powerful brand, and we'll continue to put in the hard work of engagement, and time has not come from our side to look at like that.
Okay. Some time away then before you take a call on that.
Yeah, I mean, we are in active engagement, so that's what I can say right now.
Okay.
from my side and wish you all the best for future. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Jatin Sangwan from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, during this time, there was a delay in winter and EOSS was also pushed to Q4. So should we expect Q4 similar to Q3?
Q3, as Diwali is the highest and the biggest quarter of the, year, and in the quarter four, EOSS has a big impact, right? So January and till middle of Feb, EOSS. And so you cannot compare, quarter to quarter. In our business, sequential quarter to quarter analysis is very difficult. In fact, right way we always do is to look at even high seasonality to compare with last year. So if you say, compared to last year, quarter four, how do you see, the performance? I can say, but if you compare a Diwali quarter with a EOSS quarter, it will not be really correct to compare the two quarters.
Got it. And sir, just one data keeping question. What was the actual amount of rent that we paid in this quarter and for the 9 months FY23?
Let me just check. Jatin, we don't have the exact number right now available. I will probably will be able to connect it back offline.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the last question on the line of Gautam Rathi from CWC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Nishit. Just one question. I was just doing the math. You said roughly this year should be 1200 crore higher than and last year, which is roughly 4300 crores of revenue. And you said both Arrow and Flying Machine are around 500 crore brands. And if I just work back of the envelope, if I just think about it, Sephora are mostly around 300 crore brand. The point I'm trying to make is roughly 3000 crore rupees worth of brands that we have are more than double digit EBITDA, and the balanced brands are all single digit EBITDA, right? Is my understanding right? Is what I'm saying, is that all right?
See, if you look at Power Brand, Nishit, we said we are at 9 months, 12.5% post-Ind AS EBITDA, right? So, clearly Tommy Hilfiger, US Polo, that zone is clearly is double digit pre-Ind AS, right? And it's remain and growing in that way. But that's how I would read the data.
Correct. So, but broadly, the only brand left out there is CK, right? Which is also doing really well broadly from whatever we see from the PVH balance sheet. If the combined PVH brands are double digit. So the point I'm going to make, Shailesh, out here is that, if broadly if you see 3,000 crores is 10% plus EBITDA and 1,300 crores is low single digit EBITDA, right? So if I just do the math, it should roughly work out to be around 300-350 crore around that EBITDA on the pre-Ind AS side, right? Whereas we are at 225 crores for the 9 months. It's impossible that we're going to do 100 crore EBITDA in the last quarter, which is the only reason I'm just trying to understand. There is something which I'm not able to understand in this, right? There is something which is not fitting into the math out there.
So, what happens is that this year, Arrow is a very low, like I said, like close to like 2% kind of EBITDA, and you're comparing with a expectation of 10%. So there is a big drag. Flying Machine also is...
I'm not taking Arrow into that account at all, right? I'm saying 4,200 crore which you mentioned, right? I'm taking out the 500 crore Arrow, I'm taking out the 500 crore Flying Machine, I'm taking out the 300 crore Sephora. I'm saying all of them, 1,300 crores put together is a 2% EBITDA, 25 crores at best. And I'm saying the 3,000 crore EBITDA, the balance brands are only but Tommy CK and US Polo, right? Which are all 10% plus EBITDA, right? So if I do the math, it should be bare minimum 325 crores unless there is a loss somewhere which I'm not able to understand.
So I'll explain you that what is missing piece here. See, we have in our business couple of brands which are now not active. we have shut down the operation. So that's brand like Ed Hardy, there's a brand iGod, there's a brand Aeropostal, right? Now, till last year, we were doing small business and we used to get small GP and we were paying minimum guarantee royalty. This year, we've stopped that also. We have been focused on our, you know, efforts only on the six brands. We still have a royalty minimum guarantee, which is around 5 odd crores, you know, royalty payment, roughly around 20 crores a year on these brands for next couple of years. So that is the missing piece. And as we, you know, grow the business to much higher EBITDA, you know, going forward, like every quarter increasing, then this around 18, 20 crores, 20 crores rupee EBITDA will become a smaller percentage of our overall, because this is not going to grow and this will go away from our life in a couple of years. So that's the only missing piece, maybe that's what you are looking for.
Which is fair, which explains my point. So when do you think, when should we put a sunset date for these payments going out, whether by FY25, FY26, when do they become due?
Two to 3 year horizon on this, and you know, it's a legal you know, commitment, so we'll have to honor, and we actively in partnership with all these brands, and if there is a way to sunset in some model earlier or so, we will explore that option, but currently this is a reality we are living with.
No, that is perfect. Just and one last question, you know, I know you guys are trying hard and trying to figure this out, right? And there has been a lot of press about Sephora, even we've been reading a lot of articles, right? Is it, how should we think about it in our mind? Is there some kind of a time frame that can be provided, or it's just too vague and too
We can't respond to speculation. This is our business. We continue to focus on running the business. And like I said, we run these 26 stores quite well with the best productivity. This is our access to women, consumers, beauty segment. So we continue to run. We don't want to respond to market speculation. And if and when on any of our brands something comes up, we'll always engage with our investors. So right now I have nothing much to add.
Just trying to understand that, you know, since, you know, the good part is we are hearing that, you know, that speculation has been put to an end. So the question I'm trying to understand is, you know, for us to get some kind of a response to take the brand to a logical conclusion, can we expect anything in the near term, or is it still uncertain? That's the question I'm trying to understand. That could you get some kind of an assurance from the brand to take it to a logical conclusion in the next 3 to 6 months, or is it very uncertain? That's the question.
We are in active engagement with all principal, including with this brand. We always trying to you know, better our business, deliver better profitability for our portfolio of brands, our AFL level. So we are in active engagement with all our principals, right? So that is what I can say. Sometimes discussions on way forward take time, but I can't comment more than that on speculation. We are running the business, and my focus is on running the business.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
I would now like to hand it over to Mr. Ankit Arora for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for joining us on the call today. If any of your questions have been unanswered, please feel free to reach out to me separately and I'll be happy to answer them offline. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That concludes the conference on behalf of Arvind Fashion Limited. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.